Ready? This is a unique mimer. It was delivered by the Rebbe in privacy as he was convalescing from a very, very severe heart attack. This mimer was recited in January of 1978. And it was Shabbos Parshas Mishpatim, obviously Matzoi Shabbos. The Rebbe was using the hookup, the microphone and hookup. It says after Shabbos. And it was Mevarcha Machedesh of the first Adar, was a leap year like this one. As I said, Bechadre in his room, Tav Shalom Ches. And this mimer is Muge. It was actually edited by the Rebbe as well. V'eila ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifnehem. These are the ordinances that you should place before them. U'medayik b'zeh, k'vei kidush ha-admor ha-zakam et-hera'er. The Alter Rebbe takes a careful look at this in Tera'er, in the beginning of the Parsha, and he says, something here triggers a question. Tzarech lahavin. This needs to be understood. The lifneihem, before them, is plural. It is indicative of Lashon Rabbim. It seems to be speaking to many people. Ve'ilash, ha-mishpatim ha-shatosim lifneihem. These are the ordinances you should place before them, plural. And then the next verse begins to speak in singular tense. The chisikne. And if you would buy or acquire, is Lashon Yachid. So either the whole thing is being said in the plural tense. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim ha-shatasim lifneihem. These are the ordinances you should place before them. Ki siknu, when you will acquire. Or lifanecha, before you. And then ki sikneb, when you will acquire. So this has to be understood. Why does the Torah seem to vacillate between plural expression and an individual expression? Singular. And then speaking as if to many. Gam yedua diok, there is also a known diok. Why is it that this parsha, which has ordinances that deal with virtually every single kind of imaginable situation that a civil society would need to contend with and to adjudicate, why do we start bedin eved ivri? Why do we start with the laws of the Hebrew bondsperson? Dafke. Dat l'chayre. The zehu, incidentally, it is this very question that bothered not only the Alter Rebbe in his time, centuries after slavery was no longer a reality for the Jewish people, but even in antiquity, in the time when there was still such an institution, the Medrash on the Pasuk says, "Bi'omre ani kenisi eschem b'mitzrayim." The Medrash goes ahead and speaks about this idea, the motif of avdus, of indentured labor, and it says, God says, I acquired you in the land of Egypt, as if the Rebbe suggests that's what's bothering the Medrash. Why is the Medrash coming along and saying, God says, I acquired you in the land of Egypt? We know that. It says, Arech Hashem Elikecha, I am the Lord your God. Asher HaSesicha Meretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of the house of slavery. And we say, Avadayatem, you're my servants. So why does the Medrash have to say, God says, I acquired you in Mitzrayim? And the Rebbe suggests that what's bothering the Medrash is the same. Why do we have to begin with this? Fine, in a society where bonds people is a thing, there's some kind of human trafficking, like it, don't like it. If it's being done, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. The Torah doesn't endorse slavery. The Torah doesn't suggest we should have this kind of reality. The Torah is just saying, this is the way, if that society does this, here's the right way. There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And now abusing people is wrong. And providing people with a roof over their head and sustenance and gainful employment could be right. It depends. It depends on the circumstances. There were people who loved this arrangement, so much so they wanted to stay afterwards. They were supposed to go after 6 years, and he says, no, ahavtiyas adayni. I love my master. I love the circumstance. This is great. I have no worries. I don't have to get up in the morning and worry who will pay my salary, how will I have a job, how will I... I have no worries now. You do all the worrying. I simply say, good morning. What do you want me to do today? Life is simple. Some people want that. And here's a guy who might even elect to live like that. And there's a whole situation. But still, nonetheless, that's a strange way to start. That's not the first, the number one thing, whether it's because this wouldn't be extant for posterity, or even in antiquity, it doesn't necessarily something that everybody dealt with. So why begin that way? And the Rebbe suggests that this bothered, the Medrash already was already concerned with this, more than 2,000 years ago. Levayer, Tam, Ascholos, Ve'elu, Mishpatim, Medim, Devarivi, the Medrash seeks to give some kind of rationale as to why the ordinances begin with every divinity. Va'id kama diyukim ala pasuk. There are many diyukim ala pasuk. Kimavur b'drusha b'sein nusyenu m'mali mikaymei that were expounded and developed by the Rabbeim subsequent to the Alter Rebbe as his, so to speak, replacement, the extension of his position. The other Rabbeim also dealt with these common questions. Now here's the interesting thing. And you learn the Torah Or, there's a whole different direction this goes. This is where the Torah Or is over. And we'll learn the Torah Or Shabbos morning. The Alter Rebbe talks about something very different. The Rebbe brings the questions, but the explanation is totally different. It's like we're going, the Torah Or from here is over. And the Alter Rebbe begins at this point to suggest the following. Masha kosov ve'ela ha-mishpatim. That which the Torah says, and these are the ordinances, hu inyan klali. This is something which is general. It's a general statement. It's an opening statement. It's not specific, but rather it represents something overarching. And this is, as our sages, as our rabbis explain it, shekoy al klalos inyan limudat Torah. The idea of ve'ela ha-mishpatim refers not to a specific ordinance, or even to the ordinances of this parsha, but it refers to Torah study, or the transmission of Torah, generally speaking. And what's the lesson? What's the message? Zeo gam kamashe kosef tosim. This is why it says tosim, which is lashon yachid, ve'ela ha-mishpatim. These are the ordinances. Asher tosim, that you will place, because lashon yachid is koy al Moshe. This refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the job before you, Moshe. That ki inyani shal Moshe, the notion of Moshe, who inyan ha-Torah. Moshe represents the concept of Torah. As we say, the Navi says, Zichru Torah is Moshe Avdi, right? Remember the Torah of Moshe. Torah tzivulanu Moshe. We'll soon see the Rebbe will invoke these verses. So the first thing you have to know is that Torah is, so to speak, in the domain or the responsibility of Moshe. V'achar kach imer lifnehem. And then it says, in more of a plural way, lefnehem, before them, lashon rabim. Haynu shal yaday haisa hamshachas ha-Torah l'kol echad v'echad mi-Yisrael, that it was through Moshe that the Torah is placed or transmitted to the plurality, the broadest plurality, that speaks not only of the conglomeration of people whom Moshe spoke to in his time, but ultimately to the entirety of the nation over the strata of time. In a very broad way, that Moshe's mission, Moshe's purpose, is to place the Torah before them, meaning before each and every member of the nation of Israel, ad seif kol hadoros, until the end of all generations. Uka Moshe Kosov, as it says, as I mentioned a moment ago, Malachi says near the end of his third chapter, Zichru Teiras Moshe Avdi. You think I came to give you a new Teiras, says Malachi? What do you think? I have something other than, it's all about Moshe Rabbeinu. This is all about remembering a Teira of Moshe. And this is something which is not when somebody finishes the entire Tanakh at the very end of the Ksuvim when he comes to Malachi and he says, oh, Zichru Teiras Moshe Avdi. Remember, guys, this is all about Moshe. But this is actually from the very beginning. Ad letiner kamaschel adaber. Till such point that we speak about a child who just is beginning to speak. First children know what's going on and they don't speak. And they go, and they get their message across. But it's... That's not well. They don't get the message across well. At some point they realize if they really get the message across, they better start forming words. And then they start to speak. And this is a very, very profound moment in a child's life. In the Gemara at Masechet Sukkah on page 42, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, till the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, says that Tinek Mishamaschel Adaber, when he begins to form words, what's the very first thing that his father should teach him, it says? It says, Melam de Teira. What is Teira? Vahainu Haposok Teira Tzivolanu Meisha. That's the first thing a child should know. Not Shema Yisrael, not Anochi Hashem Elokecha, not Bereishis Bara Elokim. The first thing a child should know is Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, that Moshe gave us the Torah. So clearly, this business of Moshe being the one who transmits the Torah is fundamental. It's foundational. It's an intrinsic part of receiving Torah, that the Torah has to come through Moshe Rabbeinu. So the first thing is the fact that ve'ela hamishpatim asher tosim lifnehem, that ela hamishpatim asher tosim, it's true, it's the placing of Torah is plural, but the tosim is singular. And the first instance, first emphasis here is on the importance or the critical role played by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's number one. Number two, there's a very important lesson about how Torah is conveyed. How do you learn Torah? If somebody were to ask you, so how should I study Torah? Is there a matrix? Is there a certain method? What's called proper Torah study? You say, yeah, there is. What is it? Kedivrei Razal, like the words of our rabbis and our sages, and this idea goes all the way back to the Gemara and Erevin, but it's articulated and developed abundantly through the later rabbis and sages up till the notion of the code of Jewish law is called the Shulchan Aruch, which comes from this concept. V'mashakosav tosim lefneihem, that it says, Harav shalomed chozer shevashayna hadavar. Rav shalimed, that the teacher who conveys, transmits the message, has to then repeat it and teach it. Afilu kama pa'amin, even if it takes many times. Ad she avinu oimek ha'alacha, until the student understands the full depth of the law that's being conveyed, betaima, with its reasons, hetiv. Not just the facts, but what make these facts tick. Why are the facts this way? Why is this the law? And you have to repeat it time and again to ensure that the actual concept gets fully transmitted. So the first thing about Torah study is that it's supposed to be exhaustive. It's not supposed to be superficial. As long as you get the information, that's good enough. No, it's not enough to have the information. I need the rhyme, reason, and jurisprudence. I need to understand the mechanism of how this works, why that information comes across in such a fashion, how and when it might be applicable in other realities. And that can only be when you have oimek halacha, the profundity, the depth of the halacha, and you have it well explained. And Alter Rebbe adds something very interesting. The Rebbe identifies something which I don't know if anybody ever identified this before in Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. And maybe once upon a time, nobody ever even talked about this. People maybe didn't focus on it as much as do in our day and age. But the Alter Rebbe says, uses the language. He says, Tzarech ato losim lefneihem tam hamiyashiv talmudam. You have to give them the rhyme and reason, which allows the subject to settle in. And the Alter Rebbe adds the words, umasimoi belibam. And you place it into their hearts. You place it in their hearts. So everybody knows about IQ and EQ. Everybody knows about emotional quotients, that sometimes it can be more important than intellectual quotients. You may be able to process information, but if you're not able to connect to the information, if you're not able to relate, you don't really know what you're talking about. You don't really have that in your pocket, so to speak. Today, when companies are hiring people, they don't just look at IQ. They're looking at EQ. The street smarts are not any less valuable. And the reality is that people who can relate have a tremendous advantage because they get it. And sometimes the get it is not just cerebral. And where's the get it? It's emotional. It's in the heart. The Yeshleimer, the Rebbe suggests, Mashakosov admor azokin shemasimim belibam, that you place it in the heart. Mefarish, the Mashakosov tosim, that which is written tosim, that tosim means lifnehem, that it should be placed before them. Hainu lipnimiyusam. That means in their inwardness, it becomes a part of them. The zeo kishmasimi bahalev. Only when it's in your heart is it actually a part of you. I can know all kinds of things, but it doesn't change me. It's not who I am. And then you take it to heart. When you take it to heart, when it's your thing, when it's relevant and important for me, when I relate to it, then I have a whole different understanding of it. At the end of the day, ideas that people have are superficial. They're ideas we have. Think the way we feel is how we feel. That's us ourselves. And the Torah is supposed to be conveyed to us so that it's not just something we know, but something we feel. Self-identifying with it. And that's the job of the teacher. Not only to convey it on a cerebral level, but also to implant it in the emotions so that the teacher conveys the importance, the relevancy, on a personal level. I heard a very cute story about a man named Mendel Kaplan who lived several decades ago. He was a Litvish Rosh Hashiva. He worked yet under the tutelage of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in this yeshiva in Baranovich, was a famous yeshiva that were burned by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. Anyway, in this he survived. I think he was in Shanghai. And later he worked in the Litvish yeshiva that was in Philadelphia. So he used to tell his students a story about how you should study Torah. He said that once he lived in Bensonhurst and used to travel back and forth. He used to commute to Philadelphia. So he said that something went wrong with the stove. So he went to a hardware store. He came to the hardware store, and the piece was broken. And the guy looks at it, he says, "I think I have to a piece." And he goes into the storage room in the back, and so he comes, he forges around, he comes back, he says, "Oh, found the piece," he says to him. He mutters, "I haven't seen this piece in 25 years. Like, they don't even make this anymore. But you're lucky, I have an extra, here you are, you can get your stove fixed." So the Mendel said to him, "Tell me, how do you remember? I mean, like, how many pieces you got back there?" The guy says, "Oh, I got thousands of pieces back there, thousands of pieces." He says, "You haven't seen this in 25 years?" He says, 25 years. I have this is a stove that nobody makes anymore, nobody manufactured. I haven't seen this piece." He says, how did you remember? How did you?" And the man said, "Buddy, this is my business." And he correctly said, he tells Talmidim, he said, "Kindalach, this is your business. If you make it your business, then it's not just something you learn. Then it's not just something that exists on some ivory tower of intellectual indifference. It's in your heart. It's in your kishkas." And I speak to his students of Reb Mendel and tell me, none of us can tell you anything he taught us from the book, but we all remember his stories. And he said he gave us an excitement and a passion and a fervor for learning that none of our other teachers gave us. So anyway, the point here is, I think this is the pshat, the Alter Rebbe says, Masima belibam. It's got to be in the heart. So number one, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is a critical ingredient, a critical component in transmission of Torah. Number two, we learn that the way Torah has to be transmitted is not only cerebrally, but also emotionally. It's not like any other learning. It's not just an intellectual thing. Shezeu inyan klali b'limudat Torah. This is a very important idea with regard to Torah study that's relevant, that kol echad v'echad mi Yisrael, that every single member of Am Yisrael has to learn like that. The learning of Torah is an individual, personal responsibility. It's not the rabbi's responsibility to learn Torah and everybody else to do mitzvahs. Everybody has to learn Torah. It's our responsibility to learn Torah. It should call echad mechuyivba. Everybody's obligated to the study of Torah. Like it says, v'shinantam levonecha. The pasuk says, and we read this every day in our Kriya Shema, you should teach it literally to your son. So, v'darshu razal, and our rabbis expounded that this means sheyihyu divrei Torah shnunim u'michudadim b'ficha, that the words of Torah are sharp. You have clarity. You know them. Not that you have to mumble and you're not sure. I know something about the Torah. When you learn an idea in Torah, you get it 100%. Shezehu ki'inyan hanal shahalacha tzarech li is brur u'mesoderes. This is similar to what we said before, that the halacha has to be conveyed in a way which is very, very lucid, very, very clear, so that the Torah you have, somebody said, "What'd you learn today?" You can repeat exactly what you learned. You know exactly what you're talking about. Not you could talk about learning. We learned about such and such. Don't tell me what you learned about, tell me what you learned. And it's got to be in that way. That's shenunim b'ficha. It should be sharp in your mouth, so to speak. This is a responsibility that's personal and individual. Besides the fact that the idea of Torah study is conveyed to us as a responsibility to teach others, and that is, Torah study is not just about you. It's about you learning and conveying, but first you have to learn. If you know nothing, how could you teach? The only way you could convey is if you first study. So therefore, if the Torah says you have a responsibility of teaching in a way of shinunim b'ficha, that your students will be able to repeat what you learned, what they learned, and understand it and know it exactly, precisely, in a way which is, so to speak, fluid. So what does that? What does that tell you about your learning? Tzarech li is hashinun b'divrei Torah gam b'limud ha'av v'harav. Then the father, the teacher, which really is one and the same, the proverbial teacher has to himself understand it in that fashion. On the contrary, if you have it clear, if it makes sense to you, then you can convey it to another. If you don't know what you're talking about, if you're mumbling, if you're hemming and hawing, how are you going to convey it to anybody else? You're just going to pass on the confusion. So you need to learn this well, understand exactly what's going on, and then you can convey it in that fashion. Now we understand. Let's revisit the parsha. Let's revisit the opening words. that this is the ordinance you should place before them. That this parsha comes miyad la'acharei parshas matan Torah. It comes immediately after the Torah portion that conveys within it mass revelation at Sinai, the giving of the Torah. Ki b'pasuk zeh yesh nahira klolis. Because this verse has an overarchingly important message. It's giving you the principles for the learning of Torah, the learning of kol echad v'echad, the learning that's responsible for everyone. What's the learning of Torah that's responsible for everyone on an individual, personal basis? The answer is on two levels. There's the v'shinantav levanecha kipshutei. There's the idea of teaching the Torah, which means literally to your own children, but in a broader way, levanecha ila talmidim, that disciples in Torah aren't called disciples, but they're called children. And of course, it's talking about your learning. And this is all al pi drashas azal hanalo beikar beifin avedus adam lekainoi. That this is as base as we said, and this is all about how a Yid is serving Hashem through his Torah, through learning of his Torah. So now we know why Ve'ela HaMishpatim, this is a broad, general, overarching statement. Here's how you should study Torah. Here's how you should teach Torah. Here's what Torah study is supposed to look like. We remain committed to Moshe. Moshe is a critical component. It's lefneim, litzipnim yusam, it's in your heart. It's chedudim v'shinunim, it's sharp, it's clear, it's arranged. You know exactly what's going on. Okay, that's very nice. So then what's up with the servitude? What's up with the indentured labor? We only explained the first three words, ve'ela ha-mishpatim, asher tasim lefneim. Umam shechak asav levaya prati aveda. So since, ultimately, what we're talking about here is avedas Hashem. Very important to understand. This is not just a know-how, a technical know-how. Oh, you want to study? Here's how you can best study. You write a book now that says, you know, the 10 important habits of studiers, of learners, this is not what this is about. This is about avodas Hashem. This is about serving God. So when about serving God, we're going to talk about now about serving God. How do you serve God? Here's how you shouldn't do it. Don't bite off more than you could chew, because then you'll choke. So how do you serve God? You serve God in a stage manner, because here's what we're after. Full transformation. Not a temporary transformation. And temporary transformations, you can temporarily change anything. But if it's not able to become a lifestyle, if you're not able to download this and implement it, then it's never going to be what Avodas Hashem is about. We're not in a race, we're in a marathon. The marathon's called life. And the point is not that you should have a good day, not that you should have a good week. The point is you should have a good life. I mean, good mitzad Yiddishkeit. And good mitzad Yiddishkeit, if it's going to be lasting, if these are going to be permanent changes, then they have to be made in a staged fashion, in a way that you're able to maintain. And therefore, the Seder is min hakal el hakovet, from the lightweight becoming a heavyweight. Harei ha'avedat tzarech liyeis ba'eifen de ma'at ma'at agar Hashanu. When you're serving Hashem, you have to do it in slow but sure. Not like these crazy diets. People go on a diet, lose 50 pounds, and then they regain 70 pounds. What's the point? What do you need? You need a lifestyle. Sometimes people need an extreme diet because they're in such bad shape that it's just everything's so messed up. But then ultimately, if that doesn't evolve into a lifestyle, it's not healthy. It becomes even more unhealthy. These the seesaw high and low. And therefore, it's slow but sure. Slow but sure is the third way. That's the lasting way. Haschalas ha'aveda, the beginning of the aveda, Kmesher Kosov, starts off with the idea of servitude. What kind of servitude? The servitude of Eved Ivri. The Bezeh Klulim Beis Bechinas Ba'aveda. When we talk about Eved Ivri, we're actually talking about two distinctly different dimensions within the framework of serving Hashem with obedience and servitude. What's that? There's Bechinas Eved Kanani. There's what's known as the quote-unquote Canaanite laborer, and then there's the Eved Ivri, then there's the Hebrew servant, the laborer. Kimuvin Mashakas of the Issa of Mechilta was brought in the Mechilta, and Rashi brings this. And the fact that Rashi brings this, the Rebbe points to the parentheses, this is proof that it's also relevant in the simplest, or straightforward level of what's called Pshuta Shel Mikra. The Eved Ivri, the Hebrew slave, Haino Eved Shehu Ivri. Is it a servant who is a Hebrew? Or is it an Avdei Shel Ivri? Is it the servant of a Hebrew? Meaning, an Eved Kanani, a Canaanite servant, Shenilkachase me Yisrael, who was purchased, so to speak, or acquired from another Israelite. Talmud Leimar, the Pasuk comes along and says, no, it's talking about an Eved Shehu Ivri. It's talking about a servant who is an Ivri. So the Rebbe says the most amazing thing. It's like amazing. You ask somebody, what's the Pshat? Who is the Eved? Is he a Hebrew or not? That's the answer. He's a Hebrew. But that's the maskana. That's the final word. But the Rebbe says, no, one second. Mikol makim yeshna kasaka daitach. There was a question, and even in Pshuta Shom Mikra, when you read this verse quickly, it doesn't necessarily sound like a Hebrew, it sounds like the servant of a Hebrew. And in that case, the Pshat contains this as well, because you have to rule it out. So we have the assumed, the possible Pshat, and then the ultimate decision, rendered the final conclusion. But the fact that in Torah, there is a possibility of learning this two ways, means that this would allude to both ways. Technically, it can only refer to one kind of one person. But proverbially speaking, on a level of theory, it can include many different kinds of Eved. And therefore, the Rebbe suggests that there are two kinds of Eved here. There's an Eved Kanani and an Eved Ivri. And it's all alluded to in the words, Kisikna Eved. So in other words, this is about Avodas Hashem. In your Avodas Hashem, of being an Eved of Hashem, that you go from being an Eved Kanani to being an Eved Ivri. And what does this mean? This means that each one is a higher level of servitude. Because the first one, there's no buy-in. I don't identify with this. I'm a foreigner, I'm a stranger. I'll go along with this. I'll bow my head in submission to my master, but I'm not really into this. And then he said, one second, yeah, I'm into this. I'm not an Eved Kanani, I'm not a stranger. I'm part of this. I may still be in a level of servitude, but ultimately, my devotion to Hashem is in a manner that I identify with it. I relate to this. I'm in. I'm part of this. And then we go to the highest level, which is the Amma Ivriya. The loyalty of the Amma, the loyalty of the maidservant, which that can come to the deepest, most profound levels of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it goes from Kal El HaKavit, from one level of servitude and obedience, the next from Eved Kanani, to the Eved Ivri, to the Amma Ivriya. And that's actually how the Pesukim unfold in the Torah. So the thing is, well, you know, before about Drushim Baruch, like explains in the Drushim at length, and especially in the Drush of the Tzemach Tzedek, which we know that this Drush is really from the Alter Rebbe. And it's called that this drush is a drush nechbad ma'id. It's a very, very honored and a very wonderful teaching and exposition, because it talks about the madregas, the levels of what represents the entirety of the Jewish nation. That everybody's either a tzaddik, a beinoni, or a rasha. Right? Like it talks about in Tanya. You're either Superman, you're doing amazing stuff, you've broken the atmosphere, you're a beinoni, you're struggling, but you got a perfect score, or you're in and out like a rasha. Sometimes you slip, you fall, you fix things up. It may fall again, but the struggle continues. The Yeshgimu Madreges B'Nefesh Adam, that these three ideas of Tzadik, Bein and Rasha, are actually represented in the notion of what kind of servitude. There's the Eved Kanani, the Eved Ivri, and the Amma Ivriya. V'hinyanim hu, Gimu Madreges Naran, this also corresponds to three levels of the soul. Nefesh, which is the actual consciousness. Ruach, the spirit, or the subconsciousness, which is beyond. And then finally, neshama. The neshama is not really part of this. The neshama is exalted. The neshama is able to affect things through its ruach and ultimately through its nefesh. But the neshama lives on forever. Umavur sham sheheim inyan tzadik v'rasha v'beinani. Ubazeh usay der aveda detchilo ha'aveda b'chines evet kanani. You start off like an evet kanani. Everybody starts off making mistakes. You know, the Gemara says, in adam emel dvar halacha emkein nichshobay. You want to really learn a halacha? You want to know it and remember it for good? If you drop the ball, you won't drop it again. That's the best way to learn a halacha is chas v'shalom to violate. It doesn't mean go around looking for violating halachas. But those are the halachas you remember. You never, the mistakes you make, if you're only half intelligent, you don't make those mistakes again. So people make mistakes, hopefully once. And that's the Eved Kanani. He's making mistakes all the time. He's dropping balls all over the place. But then he moves on to Eved Ivri. Then he gets on, he moves into the next level, which is like the Beinoni. He's got a perfect scorecard. He's not dropping balls. He's almost making mistakes. His mind is not always focused. He keeps getting distracted, but he never, in the end, defaults. And then there's the Amma Ivriya. The Amma Ivriya is the highest level, where she is totally committed and loyal to the mission, to the point that she no longer identifies with her own desires, only with the desires, so to speak, of the master of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the Issa B'Zoyar, like it says in the Zoyar, that Barnash Kadis Yalad Yehavin Lein Nafsho. That from the time that a person is born, he's given a soul. And if he's zacha yater, if he merits more, yahavin leirucha, then he gets not only a nefesh, then he gets also a ruach. Zacha yater, if he merits even more, then yahavin leinishmasa, then he gets a neshama. So everybody starts off with a nefesh. The nefesh is from the moment of crowning. That's when you're born. And then And then if you work and toil, you hopefully get a ruach. And ultimately, the goal is to move into the level of neshama. The miyad b'shas haleida, at the moment of birth, nimshir l'chol echad b'chinas nefesh, v'shebi madregis neshan neshama, nefesh, not just the lower nefesh, nefesh, neshama nefesh, but still just the nefesh. Shemitzad b'chinas zu, the aveda is b'chinas nefesh, this aveda is b'chinas nefesh, and the aveda b'chinas nefesh, there's a struggle, there are mistakes, there's slipping and tripping. It's a nefesh. It's dealing. It's life. It's a human. It's got all the human frailties. And then we have a human who's engineered and perfected. A person is in an elevated state of consciousness. When a person starts to access a higher level of spirit, so you go from just being alive to actually moving into the realm of spirit. Until a person reaches the level of neshama. So this is the, and the avoda comes out of these, out of that level then, at level of neshama. Like the Alter Rebbe Rashab explains in Kuntos HaAveda, the difference of serving Hashem through nefesh, through ruach, through neshama. So, in short, we have to break now. We can't conclude this maimer, unfortunately. But in short, what's the nekuda? What's the point? The point is Ve'ela Mishpatim Hashatasim Lufneim speaks to how Torah is transmitted. And then we have to understand that transmission of Torah is, in and of itself, avodas Hashem. It is an act of servitude towards God. And so we start off with the concept of servitude, addressing multiple layers of servitude, because this, my dear friends, is what life's all about. You don't want to go into overdrive, then you crash. You want to be able to slowly move into the higher and then even higher madrega. So a person starts off with the lowest madrega, Evet Knani, the notion of nefesh. Then from there he moves into a higher drive, into ruach, and ultimately, the highest drive, now you're a race car, now you're really moving. That's the level of neshama. And this is how Torah is transmitted, internalized, and maintained. Good Shabbos, everybody. Thanks for joining us all week. May we continue to study Hashem's Torah and go mechai lo choyel and avodas Hashem until we merit the coming of Mashiach, b'mheira, u'b'yameinu. Amen. Amen.